Okay, we're on, if I remember correctly, more on internal procedures and functions. We did internal procedures, right? So I think we're on the more on internal features and functions, procedures and functions. So this one is basically putting in both a procedure and a function as internal things. And obviously they can both be done externally as well. So they're both internal things. So I start out and I have my declares up there, which are the declares for the program, for the script itself. Then I include the function, then I include the procedure, and those could have been flipped to the procedure and then the function. And then starting with begin is the code in the program, okay, the script in the main program. So I go down there, and it says, if V cont amount is greater than 500, then set the V code to EX and go do calc new dawn. Okay? So it's going and doing a routine. So I do whatever I do down here, and then I say, go do this. Okay? This is a function, because when I see it over like that, I know I'm calling a function, I'm sending it those two things, and whatever it returns is going to go into the new cont amount. So I'm sending it to a function. I'm sending it some data for it to work on in the function. And whatever gets returned from the function is going to be stored in the new cont amount. Okay? So I start out and I check if it's greater than 500. I do one thing. And notice I always go to the function. It's just that I go with a different code, but I always go and do the function, okay? So depending on what it is, I change the code, and then I say go and do the function. Now, whenever you see something repeated like this, it becomes obvious that I do it every time, so in fact, I could do it after the end ifs are over and just do it once, okay? Because there's no time when I'm not sending the same thing to the same function and getting the same thing, getting something back that I'm naming the same. So when you see that kind of repetition, you know that you don't have to keep repeating it. It could be done after the if statement was over. Okay? And there is where I do the add procedure, which is just an insert. So when I'm done with the if statement, I went and did the procedure. And that's a procedure because it's just a statement there, and it is sending that stuff to the procedure. And the procedure ends up doing, receiving the stuff, and then doing an insert. Okay, so the procedure ends up receiving and doing the insert. Okay. So that's basically got a procedure and a function that are internal. They could be made external. The insert one especially would be good to be external because there's probably a lot of times when I want to do that insert. And so I can take the insert outside and do it a lot of the time. So down here, I put in the three fields because I'm getting prompted for three fields. Okay, and that's, if you look at the program, back up at the top, I'm prompting for three things there. So the user's entering three things, and then I'm going with that. Okay. So the user enters the three things. Then I go and I do my processing and I write it out. And then I go back in and do a select. And some of you are kind of forgetting that I need to see output when you do the Oracle because you write it and okay, it got written, that's fine. I still need to see you go in and do the select so that I can see that the rating actually happened, that the insert actually happened. So the insert that I put up at the top is actually going in. Okay. The next one has a bunch of stuff in it, one of which is a cursor. So up until now, I've been just processing one record. The user was typing in the input and I was just processing one record. But now I want to use a cursor. So I want to take in multiple records. So I'm setting up the cursor there and saying the cursor is for update. And then I have in here a procedure and a function, okay? And the procedure and function are executed when I call them. But down in the main program, I have a fetch, and then I have a loop that has a fetch at the bottom. So I'm going through the cursor and processing every time, and I am doing the function and the procedure inside there. Okay. So, what is this one coming up with? It's pretty worthless as far as doing anything practical, but it is showing the stuff that's going to happen. So, I started out, and if you look at the begin down at the bottom, okay, that's the script itself that's down at the bottom. So I said, open the field cursor. So I'm opening this field cursor. I'm selecting asterisks from test PRFN2. Okay? And if I look at that, okay, I created a table called test PRNF, PRFN, whatever, that has four fields in it. Okay, so I created that file. So I'm opening the cursor, and then I'm saying fetch into, and I'm fetching into the declares up at the top. Okay, so I'm fetching into those declares up at the top. Then I'm saying while the cursor is found, which means while there is still another record, then I am going and doing the function, which is calc num. Okay? So the first thing that I'm sending up to calc num is the information on the first record. And I'm sending it V field 1 and V field 3. So if you go look at the data, okay, PRFN, I thought I was calling it PRFN2. I'm assuming it's the same. Okay, we will assume that this is the same data. I didn't notice that. Okay, so there's the data. Okay, so the first one, I do a fetch into the places, and then I say, while it's found, I'm going to calc num, and I'm sending it what?
Field 1, field 3.
Which are?
Whatever that 123 is, and whatever that 12345 is.
Right. So I'm sending it the 123 and the 12345. Okay, so it's receiving those in the function. Okay, it's receiving those. And it's going down and it's doing a subtract. So it's saying, all right, take field 3, subtract field 1, and put it into field tote. Okay, so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'm subtracting 123, which gives me what?
1, 2, 2, 2.
Right. They all do that. And I just realized I hadn't put out the pen, so I can't do it. It is coming up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minus 1, 2, 3.
It's 1, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Right. So it's 1, 2, 2, 2, 2. And these 2, 2, 2s keep showing up. Okay. So I am going and doing that in the function. And then I'm returning field tote. Okay, so I went out, did the calculation, now I return field tote, and I put it into V field tote, which is up there. And then I said, okay, now go and do change field 4, and send it the tote and field 4. So I'm sending it John, and I'm sending it the tote, right? And so it receives those in the procedure, and it is saying if field tote is greater than 30,000, it's not, and the length of field 4 is less than 4, it's not, so I don't do anything. Okay, so I haven't done anything there, because I'm only acting if it's an if. Okay, so I haven't done anything. I come back, I do an update, and I put out field 4, okay, so I put out 123 John and 1, 2, 2, 2, 2. Okay. So I'm putting out, and I put out the field tote. So I'm putting out and looking at the BBMS line that has those things on it. So it's field 1, field 4, and field tote. And then I fetch the next record. Okay, so the next record is Ann, and it will go through basically the same thing. Then when it comes to the third one, the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minus 3, 4, 5 gives me 3, 4, 2, 2, 2. Okay, so when this one goes up to the procedure, it's greater than 30,000. Field tote is greater than 30,000 on that third one. Okay? So it goes up there, and that's greater than 30,000. And then it asks, is the length of the field less than 8? Less than field 4, less than 8. Cylinder is less than 8. So it therefore goes and adds those asterisks around field 4. So that when it comes out, Linda has the asterisks around her name. Okay. So it went and added the asterisks around her name for absolutely no good reason.
How come they didn't do it to warrants?
Tell me.
Because he has more than 8 letters in it.
Oh, perfect.
Right. Okay. And why did it do it to Susan?
She has less than 8.
She has less than 8 and she's more than 30,000. It's an and there, so it has to be both of those. Okay? So Susan gets the asterisks around her name because she was greater than 30,000 and with a length less than 8. Okay. And as I said, this is totally worthless program, but at least it went and did something. Okay? And showed you that it could go and do a procedure and a function. Okay. Questions?
No, I think you're pretty cheerful.
Well, thank you.
I don't know if I'm going to do this in 2 weeks, but I think it's cheerful.
Story?
Just reading the L's other ones. I hear really good news.
What?
keep misreading the L's as ones, and I get really confused for a second.
Are you okay now?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is
S1D? Oh. Yeah, no, I mean, I clearly was, you know, out of feeling out of anything practical when I did this. But
yeah, I try not to use L's in my variables either, because it's you get stuck sometimes because you have a 1 and an L and you cannot fill the
That's right. And zeros and O's can do it to you too.
O's the worst. I usually look for the wider O. If it's wide, I know it's not. That's usually how I do it.
So, that is showing one with a cursor. Because most of our examples have just been bringing a record and process it. But this one is showing with the cursor. So I'm processing all the records on the file. Okay. The next thing is triggers. Okay. Now, a trigger is something different. What a trigger does is it acts when the data has been changed. Okay, so when I change, if I have a particular file, when I change the data on that file, it activates the trigger, and the trigger can report that I have just changed that file. So I may have a whole load of programs that may make changes to, for example, a transaction file. So I may have a group of programs that do something. I don't want to put code in every one of them because I want it to go to a common place. And I just don't want the repetition. So what a trigger is a trigger is tied to the data, not tied to a program. Okay, it's tied to the data. So that when I hit the trigger, when the trigger is activated, rather, it's activated because the data has changed. Okay, so when I change the data, I activate the trigger. And that means that I can have kind of a separate thing that keeps track of all of the changes that went to the data. Okay, this example is not as practical as you would write it. You would write it so that you could see, you might even put out the before and after. So when a trigger happens, you might put out the before and then put out the after. As it says there, you can do an after on it or you can do a before on it. Okay, so you can do a before or an after or, for that matter, both. So the trigger gets triggered when data gets touched. And that means that I then have a track and a trail of that. Okay. Question? Or just totally amusing?
Yes. And this is one of those where you could basically add another field that would capture the user and possibly change that field as well? Or?
Sure. Oh, wait a minute. Capture another... suddenly realized I didn't hear the last part, so say that again.
Would you be able to use a trigger to also write the user that made that change, or can we only...
Yes, I would, yes, because they're logged in, so yes. You could write the user that made the change, yes.
Just curious, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I guess the common use for triggers would be to add dates whenever someone makes an insert and stuff.
That's right. And I just hard-coded the date in here because I was feeling lazy. But in fact, the better way of doing it would be to take today's date and put today's date in. And so then you've got a trail of things that you've done to a particular table. And if something goes wrong, you've got a trail that you've made. Okay? And this trail is being set up such that any program that touches the data... it's not tied to a particular program. It's tied to the data. So
so anything that touches the data makes and adds, changes, or deletes is going to be called. Okay. So I set up a table that I said I wanted the change date and the total amount. Okay, I could have put all of the records on the table so I could have a complete showing of all the records on the table if I wanted to. So I could show this is the data now after the change. But I just said, okay, I'm going to put out the date and I'm going to put out the total amount. You know, how much is now there? Okay, so I updated it on this. Okay, so I'm saying create or replace trigger called trigger one. Okay, after any update on new donation one. Okay, so I'm creating a trigger that does after an update on new donation one. I could have done update, insert, and delete, but I just did update on this one. So if I do an update on new donation one, I'm going to hear about it. Okay, and I hard coded in the date, better to have gotten today's date, and I've got a field called total amount. Okay, so I say in this, the trigger will select the sum of card amount into the total. So I'm looking at a big total, the total for the whole thing. So I'm saying if there's a million records, that total is going to sum up the million records. I'm just looking for a change in total. So I said select the sum of con amount into V total amount from new donation one. Insert into total notes the change date and the total amount. And so I'm just putting those values in. Okay? So total notes is going to be my record, my trail. And I'm just putting the information into total notes and making it the trail. Okay? So now I look down at the program that does the update. And the program that does the update simply does an update. Okay, I just took in three records and I did an update on this particular thing. So the thing that did the update would cause the trigger to happen because I'm saying update new donation one, and up here I said do this after an update on new donation one. Not before, but after. So that means the new amount that I added in is going to be added to the total. Okay, because I did an update, I put another amount out on the table, and so this is going to be added to it. Okay. Questions? Okay, so that trigger just happens. So if I put up and I go in here and I put in the data, then I will get the update. Okay. So I put in the data, I put in a total of 30. I was at 160, and I will go up higher. So I keep getting a total amount. Okay, so this is new donation one. This is the first time I ran it, and it added that up and came up with 160. So that was the first trigger. And then I added in another one of 45. And, oh good. 160 and 45. Anybody see what's wrong there?
Where? Show me one.
Okay, 35 and 30 is 65, 75, 85, 160. That's perfectly fine. And then I put in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 345. I lost a 10 somehow. That's why it's not adding right. I don't know whether I went in and deleted a 10. I didn't notice this when I was looking at it. But if you look at the figures, this is 160, and then adding a 45 should bring it over to 205. Somewhere along the line, I deleted one of the 10s.
Yeah, it's still there.
Because I have two 10s. So I deleted one of the 10s somehow.
It should be 205, but really one of the 10s should be 195. Hmm. Why is it 160?
205. Because I deleted one of the 10s.
I know, but there's a bigger difference between 10 than 10 is between 160 and 45. That's our
No, between not 195 and 205, there is a 10 difference.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. You said you got 160. Yeah, I'm confused.
Yeah, you are. Okay, we all are. This adds up to 160,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
And then this adds up to 195.
Okay.
Despite the fact that what I added was a 45, and the difference between them is that there is a 10 that is missing down here.
Oh, okay.
So apparently I deleted a 10.
Well, I think you're saying that total amount, though, the 160 is supposed to be 205.
Well, it wasn't deleted, it was replaced, right?
No, because I put in a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, that's true. You're right. It was an update I was doing, not an insert. Good job.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't doing an insert. I was doing an update.
Yeah.
And so it was updating the 10 to 45, which is a 35 difference. I was happily doing an insert instead of doing an update. Okay? If that had been an insert, then it would have inserted and gone up to 205. But it was an update, and so it's updating the record 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? And it's adding 45 to it. So.
See how logic errors creep up? You don't even notice them sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. More on triggers, I actually think I want to do something that I didn't put up here because this is actually taking less time than I thought and I've got a block of time here. So I'm going to go and I'll put it up tonight. I thought that was going to take longer than it did. So I'm going to go to last fall and there is a thing out here that is called more notes on check digits. Okay, so if you go to last semester and you can just put in fall 18 there. Okay, fall 18 there right after the CIS 150, you can put fall 18 and that gets you into the fall of 18. And if you come down here, you can see notes on check digits. Okay? And since I have a block of time and I want you to try to put this together, this is a good time to do that. Okay. What a check digit is it is the last digit, usually, of an ID number. And it is there to verify that it's a valid ID number. You know how sometimes you type in your ID number wrong and it comes back and says invalid ID? What it's done is it's done the check digit check. Okay? So if I have a, let's say, 6-digit ID, I add a 7th digit to it, which is the result of doing calculations on the first 6 digits. So I do calculations on the first 6 digits. I come up with an answer, and that answer becomes the 7th digit. Okay? So when somebody is verifying that your ID is correct, they go through and they redo the calculation, on the first six digits, and if they come up with the same answer for the seventh digit, then they know it's a valid ID. Yeah.
So credit cards and stuff are?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a whole load of different check digits you can use. This is one of the simplest, which is why I'm looking at this one. But there's a bunch of check digits out there that routines. This one is called the Mod 11 check digit. Okay. So the first thing you do is you break up the digits, okay, so that you get to each one of the digits. And you can do that with a substring so that you can get to each digit individually. Okay. So in this one, I've got a six-digit number that I'm going to add a seventh digit to make it the check digit. So I start out and I say, okay, here's the number I have, 036532. And I'm going to multiply this by 7, this by 6, this by 5, this by 4, this by 3, this by 2. So I'm giving the different digits a different weight. Okay? So that if I reverse digits, which is the standard mistake that people make, is to reverse two digits, then the weights are going to not work right, because the weights are according to position. And so the weights aren't going to work right, and it's going to come up with the wrong answer. Okay? So, I go through a routine, and I multiply each digit by the weight. Okay? And in this particular case, when I do that, I'm coming up with 81. Okay? So I came up with 81. Then I take that, and the next step is, so I assign weights to each digit of the ID. The weights in Mod 11 are 2 to a maximum of 10. Okay, so this one only works if I can assign weights at a maximum of 10. Other than that, if I have a bigger ID than that, then I need to use another methodology. There's a whole load of them out there. So each digit in the ID is multiplied by its weight. Then the results of the multiplication are added together. So I accumulate the total as I go in programming. Okay, in writing this out just in English, you add them all up. But obviously, if you're doing this in programming, you've got a loop that does the multiply and adds to a sum, so that you end up with a sum up there. Okay, so then you take the sum and the remainder of 4. How do you get a remainder?
By dividing whatever's left over. It's whatever's left over the whole number. So, like, for example, you divided 81 by 11 equals 7, and the remainder is 4.
Okay, what's an easier way to get the remainder?
Modular division.
Pardon?
Modular division.
Yeah, right. Mod.
Oh, alright.
Okay? If you do the mod, you get a remainder. So then I say, okay, get the remainder. This is called the Mod 11 check digit. And so what I do next is I take the 11, subtract the remainder from it, and I get 7. So the set check digit is 7. Okay? So now I add the 7 to my ID, and the ID I'm giving you for your credit card or whatever it is 036-5327. Okay, so I'm giving you that for your ID. So now when you use your credit card, I'm doing a validation. And this time, notice I started with a weight of 2 and went up to 7. Here I'm starting with a weight of 1 and going up to 7. So the check digit gets weighted in at 1. And I multiply by the weight. And so 1 times 7 means I'm basically adding in the check digit. Then when I do a divide by 11, it should come up with a remainder of 0. And if the remainder comes up as 0, then the check digit's valid. Okay. So, what I want you to do, which is why when I saw a chunk of time here, what I want you to do, and you've got about a half an hour, is write this. Okay, so write this in PLSQL. So have the user input, I want you to do both. Have the user input 6 digits and you tell them what the check digit is, and then have a routine that when the user puts in 7 digits, you tell them whether it's valid or not.
Try. Using the model level?
Yeah. Using this particular one, yes. Use this particular technique. As I said, there's a whole load of check digits out there, but this one is kind of straightforward, but still gives the idea. I think that means that I have given you all of the assignments before Thanksgiving. Because I think this is the only one that was on hold.
Okay,
I'm trying to remember if there's one other, but if it is, it's a minor one. So this, I think, is the last assignment before.
Like this thing, what we're literally actually doing right now?
Huh?
Like what we're actually doing right now, or the assignment you just gave on the site?
No, this one that we're doing now. I had hoped to get it in this week, but then I thought I just didn't think I had the time. Because I kind of like to give it in so that that week that comes back is more, not a lot of work. I can't remember if I had one other thing that I wanted to do that's not out there for the previous month, yeah. So I'll have to look, but I think this is it.
Because I'm being honest, I
don't really
know how to go about this.
No. I mean, is it the right thing to do? Can I stop you from doing Google? No. Is it the right thing to do? No. Because you know, the point here is to learn. You're having the user type in the number.
Yep.
When I did it with a sub, and I kept changing the index of the sub. So that I was looking at each digit individually. And so you're going to do a multiply, whichever end you start with. You're doing the multiply by digit times weight and adding that sum to a total, and then doing a multiply of digit times weight.
Wait, so I don't have to make an impression to check their number? Is that what you're saying?
Right. They're going to type in a number.
Sorry.
And you have to make it first. So you have to, if somebody types in a six-digit number, you have to tell them what the check digit should be. And then another routine is, if they type in a seven-digit number, you need to tell them whether it's valid or not. So you're basically got a loop that's going to go through and do that calculation. All of this first part is done with a loop where you're changing the index so that you look at different characters. Okay, you're changing the index. So you're changing the index, so you're getting this, 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 in which case you're subtracting from the index, or if you start at the other end, you're adding one to the index. It depends on which end you start with. Okay, but the index is changing so that you get different characters. And then the weight is changing as well. Okay, so the weight is going from 7 to 6 to 5. So you're going to have a variable for the index and a variable for the weight. At least that's how I did it. Oh, I forgot to mention one thing. If you read it down there, I forgot to mention it. If the check digit comes out as a 10, then X is frequently substituted. Okay? Because it could come out as a 10. If I come over here and I end up with 11 minus 1, then I get 10. And I can't have a two-digit check number. So frequently they use X, which means the same thing when you're checking. If they put in an X, then you convert it to a 10. Okay. And to show you how old this particular thing is, pick X here. That's funny. I keep noting that and then forgetting to change it. Pick X is back when I was teaching COBOL. It was how you defined a one-character field, was pick X. I mean, this has been around forever. I did it, you know, in my job years ago, a couple of different kinds of check digits. And so when I wrote this up, it was at the time when I was teaching COBOL. So that pick X there simply means a one-character field. One character, and it's also a string or character or text field. And that's just simply saying that you have to make note of the fact that when you're doing this, that last digit is a could be a string. The check digit could be a string. And it's a check digit of 11 and 0 is used. So I should have focused on that line when I didn't. That is basically, that line is basically doing an if statement after you're all done with the getting it. Focus really on how you go through the loop that gets that sum, because that's the hard part. If you do look it up and find it out there, it's going to undoubtedly be in C.
It's a struggle.
Yeah.
So, is this as a quick question? To, like, move between each digit, are we going to have to do a series of division?
At least there was upstream.
I would have a loop. And I would have the index, I'd have a loop. And how do you extract a character from something?
Substring.
You use substring to extract a character.
So does that mean does that mean the input's not a number then?
The input is going to be the 6-digit number.
Yeah.
So for testing purposes, the input is going to be 036532.
So substring can still work with numbers?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And so you're going to do substring, and how do you make the substring so that it can change as it's in a loop?
You change the starting location.
The location, right. Where you want to be. The substring has the name of the field, the starting position, and how many characters? Well, I only want one character, and the starting position is going to vary. And so that's what I'm changing as I go through this, is the starting position, which I call the index. And I'm also changing the weight.
I thought we're going to end up having to do a series of divisions and travel through the number.
No, you're going to get a sum and then do one division.
Yeah, I just didn't know that substring works with numbers.
Yep.
Like, the only other way I could think is, like, to keep dividing by a multiple of 10 to get to the different digits.
Oh, okay, yeah. That seems like too much work.
Yeah.
Substring will work just fine. So, basically, you're going to have a loop that will do that getting the sum. When you finish the loop, you will have the sum. And then you can do the other things after that. But you're going to do a loop that will gather the sum.
And it always goes in that order, the times 7, times 6, times 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
the weight always starts.
This particular check instrument.
The low, right, for this particular one, the unit's position is always 2, and then it goes up 3, 4, 5, 6, and if there's 7, then it includes another character, it would be 8, another character would be 9, and it says it only goes up to 10. And the reason for the weight is to catch the flipping of digits. Because if I flip a 4 and a 5, I'm going to catch a big difference in the weight. If you do a search on Mod 11 check digit, which I just did, yep. I'm the first one that comes up.
Wow, really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really sick. That's pretty impressive. How do you feel about that? No, honestly, I think that's pretty impressive. I feel pretty happy about that.
No, it's just been out there for a long time.
Yeah, but that's the number one search? That's crazy.
It's the problem, too. Oh,
I'll be ecstatic. I would be showing it off.
I'd
be on Facebook really quick.
Have you noticed how much I got out on Facebook?
I haven't checked. Honestly, I haven't looked. I've been trying to find you.
At one point, I did have to make a Facebook because the school wanted me to experiment, and I finally told them they had to get somebody else to do it. It was too...
You've been here for a while, right?
I think I've been here a year or two.
Oh, I thought it was
a long time. It was. But I basically told them it was just too time consuming. Plus, I now use Facebook, so I don't understand Facebook's allure. I do not want to know what anybody had for supper other than me. I do not want to know about anybody's anything.
There's no way to shorten the increments. So when you have, like, you're trying to up the count or decrement the count, you can't do, because you have the colon equal sign, you can't do, like, V underscore, or plus plus V count, or...
I'm lost. What are you asking? Try one more time.
Shortening the increment of the count in the loop. So, like, in Java or in C++, you can go plus plus count, or...
You know, that's right, I know what you mean, and,
So you want to count this up?
I'm not sure whether you can do that in PLSQL or not. I don't think so, but give it a try and see.
I just want to try and get what you're trying to say. So you want to, like, count through the substring instead of actually cross-coding the substring? Or am I really
I mean, you can do that in Visual Basic, too.
I've said too much.
No, trust me, it didn't help.
It didn't help. Come on. Just listen to me.
You can use a while loop, or this would be a time where you could use a for loop because you're always going up just by one or down just by one.
Okay.
But I mean, I would be checking if I had a weight, I'd be saying, well, the weight is, and comparing what I wanted to get out when the weight got to a certain point.
Well, what happens with that? I just want to separate.
Oh, the index, either one. You can check the index or you can check the weight. Or you can use a for loop.
So I only need the remainder. I don't even need something to do.
That's right, you don't even need this is probably a bad example because I came up with an answer and seven and a remainder one.
If I do a four index, it will go through each digit.
Well, you have to have a comparison in there for index greater than or less than or whatever you're testing for. But, you know, the index and the weight, for example, the weight is going to, if I start here, the weight is starting at two. When it gets to eight, I want to be out of here.
Right.
I don't want to do anything with it. Because I don't have a number. Or if you start here, then you're subtracting one every time. And when I, the last one I want to do is two. So when it gets to one, I don't want to do it. So if you test weight, depending on which way you go in this, I mean, when you're doing the calculations, you can go from left to right or from right to left. It doesn't matter which one you do. If you go left to right, then the weight is decreasing by one. If you go right to left, the weight is increasing by one. And it doesn't matter which one you choose to do. What my husband tells me is that I hum, and especially when I'm doing a problem that I'm having trouble solving, I can get very hummy. Yes, I hum a lot.
I haven't gotten there yet.
I think we're all looking at it.
Well, it beats talking, because at least he then knows that I'm not talking at him, or to him. The hum he assumes is not intended for him. If you have them, folks.
I'm really sorry.
Discuss it at the Thanksgiving table.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure.
What solution would be a good one for this?
I wish I had family that was like, really into computer programming. I'd love that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Not having anybody to talk to. Nobody even understands what you're trying to tell them.
No, as I said.
That's great. Good for you.
No, the interesting thing about my husband is I actually met him before either of us went into computers.
So you guys both went to it together?
No, different. We met at college, and neither of us were doing anything with computers, and then we had different tracks of ending up with computers.
Really?
He went into the army and ended up with it there, and I went and got a job and ended up with it there.
What made you want to do it?
I took a summer job, and it was seemed like kind of fun, and I was bored with what my major was, which was economics, so I figured I might as well try something else.
Bored with economics?
It couldn't possibly happen.
No. Having that much money in your hands, it couldn't possibly happen. What was your summer job, if I were to ask you?
I don't know. I mean, it was just a summer job, but it was working with computers a little bit, and I mainly watching other people work with them, and I said, oh, this seems like fun. So I went and got a job, and they sent me to school for a week and a half and said, start programming.
So if we want, you said, like, each digit should have, like, a different weight. Is that going to just be a series of if statements at that point?
No, I think that's overcomplicating. If you look up the substring.
No, I mean just, like, for...
My thing is syntax. I'm trying to think about how I'm going to tell it to,
like, I have... I
check these numbers.
Substring. I just want to know, like, for adding weight to each digit from the multiplication.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to have two things that you're using. Let me just bring up.
If we share ideas, like,
or you want to just keep that?
I mean, you can share ideas, but not particularly code. I mean,
you're asking how you would go about to find the individual numbers.
I mean, that is like how many. I just want to know how I'm gonna fetch number one or two.
Oh well, why don't you use a while? Like while the digits, while the individual digits are less than seven, then you would do the calculation right, and then you like add the seventh digit, and then you do else.
The way to compare length of numbers, I just can't think of one.
You have to go by the substring. So if number of substrings, not substrings. What's the name of that thing?
It has to do with check in general. Like, it's not a check function.
Okay, so here's the substring.
And this is just.
Yes.
So here's the substring. Here's the name of the field, and that doesn't have to be a number. That can be a data name.
That wait. That four?
The four can be the name of a field.
So it'd be
so it can be the index basically that tells you which one you want to look at. And if it starts at seven, it can then go down to six, down to five, down to four, and you can work in a loop. The last digit is how many characters, so that would be a one, because I only want one character.
Could you use that to like count the amount of substrings? So let's say you have to, like, while the total number of substrings in the insert are less than seven, and then you would go into the first, like, program where it would be, like, you would multiply and get the seventh digit. And then if you would have else, if the number of substrings is
you're overcomplicating
seven.
That.
I think we all are. I know I am.
That seems like the simplest way to do it, because then you would have both of them mentally, like, if it has less than six digits, you would do the thing to find the seventh digit, right? Else, you would just do the check and see if it adds up to zero. If it's zero, you're good, right? Else, if there's more than seven digits, exit. Because you don't want to do that, right?
Sada.
I'm trying to find a way, like, how you...
I mean, you've got a loop, and you've got two things that are going to vary, right? You've got two things that are varying. One is the weight, and one is the index that tells you which character. The one you're using in substring to tell you which character. So substring is going to, that middle field here, is going to tell you which character. And when that's a seven, then you are looking at the seventh character. When it's a six, you're looking at the sixth character.
And where would you be putting that, where the three is, correct?
No, the three is a one, because every time you only want one character.
So,
you're taking and you say, let's say I want to start with the first character. So zero is the first character. Okay. So I'm going to have a zero is going to be the first character, and the weight I'm multiplying it is by seven.
How does it remember this next character?
Because I've got a loop, and I'm changing the pointer to tell it now go to the first character, now go to the second character, now go to the third character. The substring.
Yep.
Tells which character I want to go to.
Do you have notes on that?
Well, I just pointed to notes on the substring, but no.
Talk about for the move to the next character.
Well, you're not moving to the next. You're going through a loop. In the loop, for example, looking at weight, in the loop, you might have started it at 7. Every pass through the loop, you're going to subtract 1 from weight. So every pass through the loop, you're subtracting 1 from weight. Every pass through the loop, you're adding 1 to index.
Add 1 to index, subtract 1 from weight.
Right. Because I want to look at the 0th character and multiply it by 7. The first character, multiply it by 6. The second character, multiply it by 5. And so forth, going along like that.
So
I've got a pointer that is telling me which character to look at, and I have a weight that is telling me what to multiply that character by, and when I multiply the two things together, I assign it to answer, and then I add answer to sum. And so when I finish the loop, and I don't call it sum, I can call it tot or something, because sum is a reserved word. But I go through, and every time I do a calculation, multiply, I make it equal to answer, and I add answer to tot. And so when I come out of the loop, I have the total. I have this 81. I have the total. Then I divide it by 11. Only I actually use the mod to get the remainder.
Do we have to link these two together?
The add-in thing? No, you could write two separate programs if you want.
Oh, I was trying to, that's why I was thinking with the while loop, like, I was connecting the two.
Okay, I would write to either two separate, actually the way I do it is put on the if statement at the beginning that said basically, if you want to validate, do this routine, else do this routine. But you can write it in two separate routines if you want to, that's fine.
That makes it easier because then you have to concentrate on the while loop outside. Right. Just do the inner loop.
So that's fine. Is it really that time? Yeah, it is.
I'm a little early.
Okay, so over Thanksgiving dinner, you're going to play with this.
Something like that.
Huh?
It's something like that.
I don't know. Just a second. I was just wanted to.
Steven Big Boy.
Why would it not like mod?
Okay, so accepted such.
Select, so it's mod of sum, comma, 11, right?
Just to
so, just as a for clarification, is the loop mainly just so you can get the sum?
Yes, that's the whole purpose of the loop.
So, that's the only thing that needs to be the loop. Like, all of this other stuff here, the
that's underneath the loop.
Yeah, can
yep.
Under?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and how you said, like, the check doesn't need to be part of the same program. Does that mean we're going to have to, like, make a procedure?
No, you can write two programs if you want to. That's a possibility. That would be a great possibility. You can make two procedures and go to the procedure depending on whether you're checking or verifying. So that would be a great way of doing it.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, because Are you just wanting us to print out the check number and not to test a number?
I want to do both.
You want to do both?
But as I said, that can be two separate programs. Okay. It can be one program with an if statement sending you in two different places. It could be one program with an if sending you to different procedures or different functions. So it's up to you how you want to write it. But I want code that I can create a check digit, and I want code that I can validate a check digit.
Okay, because right now I think I have code 4 to, like, tell you a check digit.
Okay. Is it working?
I haven't tested it yet.
Okay.
But, like, I think I have the basis